In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today is the 50th day of Pentecost. 50 days from that Sunday of Resurrection, that Sunday of Easter. On this 50th day, we celebrate the sending of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who is part of the Holy Trinity, the third person of the Holy Trinity. Holy Spirit, who comes to us as He came to the disciples to make us stronger, to make us brave in professing our faith. Thank you so much for wearing the red that I requested last Sunday. It looks like you really listened to the homily. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It is Pentecost. Pente, which is 50 days after the resurrection. And with Pentecost is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as we hear in the first reading, although they were from all parts and different languages, the one language of the love of God sending His Spirit upon the world to spread the good news of the Incarnation, that God, in His mysterious plan, became a man and showed us the way back to Him, the Father, to share His very nature. With Pentecost, the Paschal mystery is now complete. We have come full circle. His being born, His suffering, His dying, and then His rising, His ascension into heaven, and then saying that I must leave, because the apostles asked Him, "Why must you leave?" "I must leave so that I may send you the Advocate, that you then will walk my way and live the life that I have shown you." St. Hilary the Bishop explains, "Since our weak minds cannot understand or comprehend the mystery of the Father, of the God that we have not seen, of the Son that became man and in the image of the Father, He has given us the Spirit as our intermediary, His advocate, to shed light on that hard doctrine of the faith, that hard, difficult doctrine of the faith, that God became a man. This mysterious being that we hear from the beginning of when we're children, God, the creator of the world, of the sciences, of the planets, of all the sciences, of the physics and chemistry, comes down, lowers Himself, becomes a man, and says, "I am the way and the truth and the life for you to be like me, to share my very divinity. I did not make the plants, the rocks, the oceans, the fish, bacteria, whatever creation you can think of, to be like me. It is only a reflection of me. But you, man, share my very divinity, and you will be like gods. Not like God with a capital G, but like gods with a small g. And that is the hard part of our doctrine. Because, you see, God became a man in Christ not to establish heaven on earth. Because the Jews didn't understand that. The apostles said they thought that he was here to fight against the Romans and establish a kingdom here. He does not come to bring us heaven here. And many new converts think that all of a sudden I've accepted Jesus and everything is going to go the way I think it should go in my life because I have accepted Christ my Savior. On the contrary, he comes to show us the way to heaven, living a life now that is mysterious. It is so mysterious that in the second reading of the letter to the Romans, the last line is, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs. We are going to live like Christ, rise again like Christ. And what does the last line of the letter to the Romans say that we hear today? If only we suffer with him. If only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. There's no other way. You see that even in, as we end this Easter season and where this joyous occasion of Pentecost, the cross and suffering is never far away. And we must understand it. Our churches, the Holy Mother Roman Catholic churches, have a corpse crucified. They are not a bare cross. We do not have those. We have the crucified Christ on the wood. I offer you a quote from St. Padre Pio, and I quote, "We do not want to accept the fact that suffering is necessary for our souls, that the cross must be your daily bread. Just as the body is in need of nutrition, so is the soul in need of the cross, that we, which day by day purifies and detaches it from the mundane. We do not wish to understand that God neither wants nor is able to save and sanctify us without the cross. The more he calls a soul to him, the more he sanctifies it by means of the cross." There's no getting away around it, my brothers and sisters. St. Cyril relates that since Christ completed his mission, he was the Word incarnate. That's what the four Gospels are about, Jesus Christ. It was necessary that God would send us the Holy Spirit to explain and to open our minds to this divine mystery, that we are sharers in the mystery of Christ. And in that, we will suffer and we will be confused as the apostles were confused until Pentecost came and opened and were breathed upon and the Spirit of God was upon them. So we need the Father to create us. We need Christ to show us the way doctrinally and teach us the faith as he taught the apostles. And we need the Holy Spirit to shed and breathe himself, his life into us. But we can't stay at the doctrine and not have the Spirit, and that is always, always a gift. And what does this transformation, because this is a new life for the apostles. This is a new life for all those people that were speaking in tongues, a different way of communicating. The life of Christ is a totally radical way of life. And what does that transformation, what does the Holy Spirit come to us and ask us to do? It is to lead a life completely different to what nature is. It is supernature or supernatural. What is that transformation? Well, let's just look at some quotes from Jesus. From the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do." Totally against human nature. "You do to me in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." The transformation of the human to be like Christ and to inherit eternal life is to forgive those that hurt us, love our enemies, pray for those that persecute us, those that hate us, those that curse us. In the Gospel reading, before Jesus, before the Holy Spirit comes down in Pentecost in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells them, I give you a new commandment, because he knew that they would need the Holy Spirit to understand this new commandment. Certainly they knew they were Jews, they knew the Ten Commandments, but now a new commandment I give you. Before he turns to the Father, it is this. I give to you a new commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And let's face it, it is not easy to love neighbor. It is not easy to love brother or sister at times, especially when persecuted and hurt and misunderstood and deceived and lied and cheated. But John, again, in his first letter, if anyone says that I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he can see cannot love God whom he has not seen. St. Augustine makes it clear, we cannot hate our neighbor because they are all God's and sons of the Most High. St. Augustine, the greatest sinner perhaps that the church has ever known, but yet the greatest saint, a doctor of the church, states, because they are all God's in small g. My brothers and sisters, we must understand that we are walking tabernacles of the Lord. We live and exist and continue to look at each other, and when we look at each other, we are looking at the eyes of Christ. No matter what evil they are capable of, no matter where they come from, what they've done, what is their history, and what is the future of that person based at their doctrine, whether satanic, we have a blessed venerable long who in the church and he was a Satanist and now he's up for sainthood. St. Paul, when he was thrown off the horse in his conversion, breathing murderous threats against Christians, said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Christ doesn't say, why are you persecuting the Christians? Why are you persecuting those that are trying to follow me? He says, why do you persecute me? Because Christ is inside us. We are walking tabernacles. And you might be thinking, well, I tell you, that guy at work is not a tabernacle to me. Or that person that just cut me off, or whatever he done, or whatever has happened in their life to be offended or hurt. They are a tabernacle of God. And so we need the Holy Spirit to live the life of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of forgiveness, of generosity, of gentleness, of tenderness, of faithfulness. Because it is not natural, it is supernatural. So my brothers and sisters, Pentecost completes for humanity the fulfillment of Jesus becoming a living person. God becoming a living person. We have the Word made flesh, and now we need that Word made flesh engrafted into us. And since it's not natural to be like Christ, but our calling is so high, and we need the Holy Spirit. So, we have to keep the stage of our soul empty of anything that we hold on to, any grudge, any fear, anything that holds us back from holding ourselves to God perfectly. Let us allow Pentecost to place in our hearts, in our minds and souls, in our brains, in our every fiber, that Spirit of God, that gift of the very life of God that he wants to give us, even now, that peace, that love and joy that we can experience now is, oh yeah, but this happens to me. How can I forgive? The Spirit exists us because there are spirits of the Antichrist that come and speak to us to tell us otherwise. And there are spirits of God that tell us on the other side, and that is the battle for the human soul. So whatever dark puzzlement we have, whatever deception we've experienced, envy, sadness, confusion, unrighteousness, anxiety, betrayal, through the Holy Spirit, let us disconnect from human logic. Because human logic would not dictate that God would become a man and be stripped naked on the cross, and that we would follow his way. Not at crucifixion, perhaps. We're not going to be crucified on the cross. But don't tell me that we're not crucified by a word, by a deed, by any deception, by work, by failure, by fear of death, and by power, by death. Nobody wants to die. My brothers and sisters, I end with this, and I echo the thoughts of this thought today by reflecting something that St. Caroline has seen. She states, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can see that this infinite goodness, which is God, wants nothing but what is good for us. Now, our love for God has become perfect when we understand that he only wants our good, and his will from the beginning of time has been designed for each soul. We no longer begin to hold on to our understanding of things. And then we become yoked to Christ, our Savior. And then with him, we begin to love ourselves for God. We begin to love God for God. And we begin to love neighbors for God. Not what we get out of it, but because they are images of God in Christ, and we must love them. It is to this perfection that you have been invited. This is your dignity. You have been drawn by the Holy Spirit from a worldly life to the Spirit of God. I leave you with this beautiful from the first letter of John. Little children, you are of God and have overcome him. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. There is nothing that we cannot win because the battle has been won. Where your treasure is, Scripture says, there your heart is also. Where is our treasure? Where is our heart? Is it in God alone, or is it in all the ministry, all the things around us? We fall, we pick ourselves up, but know that there is a battle of the spirit of the Antichrist, and many spirits now, Paul says, have come into the world to tell us differently, to hate, to wonder, to disagree. We are called for sainthood, nothing less. Where is our heart? Where is our treasure?